Hello and welcome back to yet another episode of Gameable Audio. And as I notice as I'm recording this, for some reason my post to the change we had for this week did not go out. So I'm going to put in a little bit, I'm sorry, we're actually changing composer for this week's episode. So we're not going to talk about Camille Schwoll. Instead, this week for episode 21, we're going to talk about the composer Gordy Hobb. And mainly the reason for this was due to the fact that the life puzzle for both of us, the composer and me, did not work out. So yeah, that's that. And also me talking about Schwoll or Camille caused a little bit of problem since he hasn't worked on that many games. So I had to put up and, change and go for a composer that had a little bit more work where I can find way more information about. As me just talking about Camille for the two, three games that he has worked on was not going to make that much of a cut. It would have been much more interesting if I actually had that conversation with him to talk a little bit more about his processes, etc. So I'm sorry for this episode that we're not going to talk about the things that I talked about that we're going to talk about. Instead, we're going to talk about Gordy Hobb, which is, in my opinion, a super interesting composer as well. I have had him on my list to go through and talk a little bit more about, and now's the time, basically. No, so yeah, my name is Christopher Quinstrom. This is Gameable Audio that you're listening to, and this was, as I said before, episode 21. So, the composer that we're going to dive into today is the American Gordy Hobb, who was born in 1976, and this was in Richmond, Virginia, US. And considering and doing the research on him, already at the age of 6, he was basically moved by the music within movies, and specifically for the score of E.T., the extraterrestrial, made by John Williams. I know a lot of us know about John Williams due to the fact that he has worked on so many epic soundtracks for different movies and series that we all love and adore. But Gordy basically, he decided that he wanted to pursue this career within music, and then he attended to the Virginia Commonwealth University, which was a public research university at this time, well, still is, but in Richmond, where he grew up. He decided that he wanted to learn to compose music, and he did that by hand, which to date is still one of his most preferred processes when he does compose music. Just a piano, a blank sheet, and a pencil. He wrote on his homepage a little bit that he didn't like that much to sit in front of a computer and have all the lights on and so on. It's much more serene, and he works way better just having the old-fashioned way. And considering the work that he did at the university, he left the university with a bachelor's degree within music composition, as Hobb writes himself. Considering the most of his musical education that it comes, it was more simply that just playing in these hundreds of rock bands that he did when he was younger and being an avid fan of Hitchcock, Kubrick, Lucas, and Spielberg films, he gained way more experience utilizing and working on composition through that. So considering and looking at his earlier career, it was mainly composing music and especially orchestra-based music for movies and TV series. But and of course, when I'm saying movies, I'm talking about small movies as well, those that can be like 5-10 minutes long. But after doing multiple homages to John Williams' work, in 2007 he composed an orchestral track for the internet phenomenon called Ryan vs. Dorkman 2. Which is basically a fan-made, like, Star Wars fight. So it's all in orchestral, and he co-composed this together with his friend Kyle Newmaster. The movie, it received more than 7 million views on YouTube. And do remember, this is back in 2007, where the whole phenomenon of YouTube started getting really, really popular. And considering, I actually just checked an HD version that was released later, which will also be posted in the main post of this episode. So people that are interested can go and check out his earlier work as well, especially this little 9-minute fight that Ryan and this Dorkman has. But this had 7 million views and was featured in Huffington Post and also named the top Star Wars derivative film of all time by Time Magazine. And of course, with all this commotion going around this work, this work was also caught in the eyes of the employees at LucasArts. And for people that do know LucasArts, they worked with a lot of different titles and so on, and of course have connections with John Williams' work. So the first track that we're going to listen to today is actually from the Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings, and this track is specifically called the Istanbul Museum. First track of the week, this was the Istanbul Museum from the game Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings. The soundtrack here was co-composed by the American Ray Harmon together with Gordy Harb, and the game was developed by the Canadian studio, and at this point in time when this game was released was called Artificial Mind and Movement, and a short had A2M. This studio was later known as Behavior Interactive, as they returned to the first original name that they used from 1997 until 2000. But as the game was released in 2009, it was under the name of Artificial Mind and Movement. The game was released on both PS2 and Nintendo Wii all over the world, and the game was also ported to Nintendo DS and the PSP. But from what I know and what I could read from the different credits, etc., it seems that these versions did not include Gordy's soundtrack in the same kind of matter or sense. I'm a little bit unsure, I haven't compared all the tracks like side by side, but there are differentialities within the games themselves, as they are more lower set of standards comparing to the Wii and PlayStation 2 version. But after being found by LucasArts here, for his homages, basically, and the creative work that he did, he was contacted to work on this game. This also led to other titles within their IPs at the time, such as Star Wars, etc. Which is also the next title that he worked on in 2011, as he worked on the MMORPG Star Wars The Old Republic, and this was together with American Mark Griske. And then he took up the arms to work a little bit more by himself, as he worked on Kinect Star Wars game. In this, he also did co-compose it together with Cal Newmaster, that he did this small Ryan vs. Darkman. But he worked solely on a little bit more than 2 hours of music for the Kinect Star Wars game. Kinect Star Wars also did win the best music in 2012, and in this time it was in the Hollywood Music Media Award. In 2013, he did work on a big popular TV series game, The Walking Dead Survival Instinct, and then he worked on more Star Wars The Old Republic, and I guess these are expansions or DLCs. I'm a little bit unsure as I haven't played that game specifically. But these are called the Shadow of Revan in 2014, and then later Knights of the Fallen Empire in 2015. But then something fun and amazing kind of happens, as he started to work on the original music for the Star Wars Battlefront in 2015. And what's so special about this game is the music that it did compose for this game, as a lot of different medias and news pages and magazines and so on basically took up and talked a little bit more specifically about the soundtracks for these. For example, the Hardcore Gamer site were the first to link to Gordy's work by writing the following: Star Wars Battlefront features the best sound score John Williams never wrote. Even the Los Angeles Times recognized his work by writing the B-side of John Williams' score. And also, Steve Schnur, who at this point in time was the president for music at EA said that Gordy is one of the few composers in the world on Luca's shortlist. And at this point in time, Gordy has composed more than 15 hours of Star Wars music, and this is solely by himself. Lastly, before we next stop, we have another expansion for the Star Wars of the Old Republic, which is The Knights of the Eternal Throne, which was released in 2016. The next game that we're going to listen to is not a Star Wars game, but it is sci-fi. So we're going to listen to the track named Isabella's Awakening, or Isabelle's Awakening, and this is from the game Halo Wars 2. And there we were fading out the amazing tones of Isabella's Awakening from the game Halo Wars 2. And this track is just amazing in my opinion, specifically Isabella's Awakening. I don't know why though, even though this is not Star Wars, Halo Wars 2 and the soundtrack that it has such a strong Star Wars vibe to it as well. It feels so great in my opinion. And this is also the only Halo game that Gordy Hobb worked on. So it's so much fun to see that he worked so mainly with Star Wars and then jumps in to work on Halo Wars series, or the specific game at least. But it's just crazy in my opinion, and I love and adore it. This track was awesome as well, in the sense that it's very emotional. It's very serene, it's very emotional, and me, when I'm listening to this, I can't help but feel some sort of calmness when listening to it. It's not too much or anything, it's just very serene and has a lot of emotion in the simplistic tones. As you can hear, it's not a lot going on in this, so it's just like an awakening should be. Either we can talk about an heroic awakening when somebody gains a lot of power. This awakening feels more like somebody's waking up. It's an early morning and they're awakening up. But I don't know, as I have not played this game, as the previous track we listened to, Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings, I have not played that game either. But comparing now that we have two different songs here, we can have a larger kind of style over Gordy Hobb here, as we can compare these two tracks, as Istanbul was more, it kind of had a little bit of the feeling of being like a Middle Eastern type of game or type of sound, but it didn't have the classical ones that we usually kind of stereotype the music with. But it still came through, at least to me, listening to this and having this Isabella's Awakening. It kind of fulfills and shows the greatness that Gordy does have within his arsenal. And always utilizing the orchestral point of view of this, working with some newer bluegrassy kind of vibe to it, but also utilizing still the classical part of it, it becomes this dark, a little bit more grimmer type of music, but I still love it. So looking at the Halo Wars here, so for this game, we do not just have one, but two co-composers for this soundtrack, the Americans, Brian Trifon, and Brian Lee White. The game was co-developed by the American studio 343 Industries and the British Creative Assembly. The game was released exclusively on PC and Xbox One in 2017. And as we're looking at Gordy's journey here, we're starting to see a little bit more of an end of, let's say, the width of what he's doing. Of course, when we're looking into the specific tracks that he's working on, we can see this large width of it. But almost every game that he's worked on the music for after Halo Wars is almost exclusively Star Wars titles. So as we were just going through his VGM journey here, following up from Halo Wars, we have Star Wars Battlefront 2, which was released in the same year as Halo Wars 2, that it would be 2017. And as the next two games are of his later works, well, that is almost the end of his current resume within VGM. So the next track that we're going to listen to, as I don't have much more I can add to this as I haven't played the Halo Wars 2, so it's hard for me. I only know it's some sort of a strategy game, and it is a sequel to, of course, the first game. But yeah, the next game that we're going to dig and jump into is a game that I recently streamed over at Twitch. So if somebody want to follow me and hang out and see what I talk about, you can find me at ChrisXWee on Twitch. No, in all seriousness, we're going to enjoy the track Bogano from the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. So we went from a more serene, emotional type of track, and all of a sudden we have this more playful, almost explorative type of track here. This was Bogano from the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order game. And when we're looking at this specific track, Bogano is actually the chapter one and the second planet you visit in this game. So it's no spoiler, you will get there quite fast in the beginning, as you get to know Cal Kestis, who is the main character of this game, and the character that the player is playing. So in this game, Bogano is the first one you can actually go in and explore more. That's why I really love and adore this track. And comparing to the other tracks that we've been listening to this week, those are like almost 2 minutes at most. But looking into this more open type of semi-open world game as Fallen Order, Bogano is almost 7 minutes long as a track. And this is, of course, due to the fact that you don't want the song to feel repetitive. But you see all these different kind of animals walking around in the biome, but you also get to go through and look at different kind of ruins, etc. So it's still a very playful environment where you can get to know Cal Kestis a little bit more. You can explore some story going on in this place. And most of these enemies that you will be meeting are like wildlife on this planet. So I really love and adore what he did with the music and how he kind of touched it together with it, with this type of game. For me, as I'm playing this game, it's kind of a more of a playful kind of Dark Souls-like type of game. You still have the meditation where you can get more skills and upgrades and so on, and also they work as a save point, just like you have the fire in the Souls-like games. But it's still way more playful and doesn't really take itself too serious when going through the control scheme, etc. with this game. So I just really loved and adored this game in different kind of senses. To this, I was a little bit kind of off-putting in the beginning, as it is such a Dark Souls type of game. But I myself is not a fan of those, because for me it's just too hard and I like the button mash. But playing in Star Wars, you could still button mash and, well, you weren't really kind of punished for it, at least. So overall, I had a good experience with this game, and I did recommend this to people that do like these type of games. But yeah, considering the work that Gordy did for this game, we have yet another co-composed OST, and this time it was by the American Stephen Barden. The game here was developed by the American studio Respawn Entertainment, which is also one of my favorite studios to date, as they make games that are very playful and they are very, let's say, they have a lot of quality in them. That's why I love them so much. This game was initially released back in 2019, and this was for PC, Xbox One, and PS4. The game did also retrieve ports for the Stadia in 2020, and lastly for PS5 and the Xbox Series in 2021. No, but when we're looking at the full OST here, it has a really large width to it as well. You have these really nice, neat explorative and playful songs and tracks, but you also have these battle more darkness to them, as of course you're exploring different kind of worlds in this. You have different kind of vibes and feelings as you progress through the story, but also what happens to Keltis and the characters around him. So, looking at the soundtrack here for Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, I feel like Gordy has really put a large effort in trying to make his own type of Star Wars music to it, but it comes I wouldn't say a cost, but you can definitely hear the homages to John Williams as well within the music, because what he set for Star Wars and the music there, it is hard to kind of do something else entirely, because then you will kind of, you will be distanced from the experience and what you're supposed to feel within this type of game. But at the same time, Gordy really succeeded with this, in my opinion, trying to have the similarities while still trying to make something unique. And of course, we're not talking about having Luke Skywalker and everything. You don't really meet all those classic characters, but you're still, you're still very aware of all the different characters by rank and so on, even though they're not really portrayed in that sense. But since we've seen so many Star Wars with series and films, etc., we have so much information about the world of Star Wars. And, well, he really did a good job. And, of course, working with so many Star Wars titles during his time in his career, it is hard not to have the signature move for making music for these games. But yeah, the game that kind of follows up right after Fallen Order is the next one we're going to listen to. It is a little bit different comparing to other Star Wars games, but still comes with a lot of similarities that we know and love from the movies and series. We're going to listen to A Losing Battle, which is a little bit more, as it's a battle music, from the game Star Wars Squadrons. We'll be right back. I'm sorry, but we're fading that epic song out there. This was a losing battle from the game Star Wars Squadrons. And looking at the soundtrack here, it was only composed by Gordy himself, and the game was developed by the Canadian studio Motive Studio and released in 2020 for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. And yeah, when we're listening to this, even from the right from the very beginning of the song, we're starting to feel and have, I don't know about you guys, but for me, these are the classical tones you usually hear or that you remember, at least for me, that I remember when watching Star Wars movies. Star Wars Squadrons is a unique game that it only focuses on the flight simulation of the Star Wars game. So you're only flying around in your shuttles and... sorry, I don't know all the names, the TIE fighters and X-Wing fighters, etc. I know there's a lot more different spaceships, and I only know the classic ones from the first three movies. Not the actual first, the first three released movies. So 4, 5, 6. Just to have that said, so people don't, you know, confuse me. Anyway... No, but I have not played this game. I do remember when it was released, there was some a little bit of talk, and some people were kind of weirded out that it was mainly only focused on like air battling, as a lot of people really love and adore all these games of Star Wars where you can run around on the ground and wield lightsabers, etc. But there are still some games. Rogue Squadron, I think, was also one of those games. Might be something with the title I'm misremembering, but something like that. If I remember correctly, it was for the GameCube. Anyways, not important, really. But there are other games within the Star Wars series that focuses more on the flying simulation within the universe. So this game is not unique in any sense. Considering the Star Wars titles. But yeah, I really love and adore because this track, the A Losing Battle, it really stems on my retrospect of Star Wars music. It feels like I already know this track. And that's what I love about it as well. There were still a lot of really good soundtracks. As I was going through and trying to pick a track from Squadrons, I felt like, yay, let's go with a little bit more of a with here so we can get like the full... rendition or addition of the soundtrack and what Gordy is capable of. So having the Istanbul Museum with the Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings, we have the, I would say, a more serene, but at the same time, it's adding a personality to the track. We're moving over to Isabel's Awakening. We have this more serene, nice little track. And then moving over to... Bogano, that one is more playful, and now that we're listening to A Losing Battle, we have this more hands-on battle theme that is really, it has a lot of attitude, and I just love that. It's just super, super nice. But yeah, considering the work that Gordy kind of continued, because this was not the absolute last game that he worked on. So, looking onward to what he's worked on, Gordy actually worked on a game called Multiversus, which is basically a 2D multiverse fighting game, much like the Smash series. But it also includes a lot of different series that you would not expect to kind of meet up. So you can see like Batman, like characters from DC, the Harley Quinn, Batman, Wonder Woman, and so on, start fighting Looney Tunes. So you can have a fight between... Batman, Bugs Bunny, the Tasmanian Devil, and all of a sudden, Scooby-Doo joins in. You even have Tom and Jerry and Steven Universe, and you have Adventure Time. So there's a lot of freaking randomness in this game, but it looks very playful. You also even have some other characters, such as the Iron Giant, for example, which I love and adore as a movie. So it was just super fun to see this character join into the fray of this game as well. But yeah, considering the music that he did for that one, he did not work on the full entire album, as this is a game that is kind of live ops, which is basically meaning that they're releasing new characters and new content over time, but the game itself is kind of already done. The framework is already set and it is there. They're just releasing more characters over time. He only worked on like the main theme, the character selection screen, and so on. So he kind of did the work from the beginning and has done some simpler tracks over time. So looking at the full OST, he did not work for the full OST for Multiverses. But yeah, then we arrive at the last game that he is currently credited for. And this is the sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. With that said, it is Star Wars Jedi Survivor, which was released in 2023. So yeah, with that said, it is time to kind of close up. So when we're looking at Gordy, it seems like he is currently the co-head of orchestral music and original scoring for DP Music. I actually do not know what DP stands for in this case. Most likely what you might not be thinking about, so let's just leave it at DP Music. Thank you, people. But yeah, DP Music is working exclusively with music content and being a provider for Lionsgate Pictures. We're talking about the studio that makes a lot of different movies and so on. If I remember correctly, it might be the Saw movies, for example. Might be, since movies is not my main interest, I do know I've seen Lionsgate Pictures from time to time, so I might be wrong on this one. This is just me pulling some information out of my ass. But Gordy, he is also the co-founder of the Noah Philharmonic Orchestra, in which he acts as the composer and the artistic director. Novo is a 95-member rock, pop, and film orchestra that is based in Los Angeles, which is also where Gordy is currently living together with his wife, Michelle. And yeah, with that said, I'm just super excited to see what Gordy has in store for us in the upcoming years to go. I mean, he's still young and can still work with a lot of different sorts of music, and especially as he's working still with an original setup that John Williams kind of used for over 30 years. It's going to be interesting to see what it kind of comes up with, even for movies, but also for video games. So I'm just super excited to hope for more Star Wars games where Gordy will join in and give this awesomeness to. But yeah, we're closing this chapter for Gordy, and I hope you enjoyed all the research and all the talking and the music that he has worked on. Other episodes of Gameable Audio, you can find those at videospelsklubben.se, Spotify, or in your closest podcast app. Feel free to follow and comment on one of our social medias as well, either on Facebook or on Instagram. Just search for Gameable Audio and you'll find me there. You can also support this podcast financially for future content, but also quality upgrades. But in the end, when I do not need any more money, then we're going to make some sort of fund for future composers. So if you feel that that could be something interesting, think about becoming a Patreon backer for this podcast. Our current awesome backers that we do have today is Daniel Onemark, Lars Schenström, Titti Schenström, Kevin Wikström, and Mike Björkholm. Thank you so much for being such an amazing part and supporting my work that I do with this podcast. Links to where you can either buy or support the composers behind the music that we'll listen to today, you can find those in our main post at videospelsklubben.se. And the next episode, and this is going to be a little bit of a special one, during November, we're mainly and solely are going to focus on female composers. So the next episode, we're going to talk about Akari Kaida, who worked on a lot of interesting games. So with that said, I sure hope that you guys are as excited as I am, as November is going to solely focus on composers and not specific games, or games that I personally have played lately that I also might select music from time to time, you know? You know this. You guys have been listening for quite some time, I hope. If not, make sure to listen to all the other episodes that is available in the discography of this podcast. The podcast theme music and also the jingles and everything was composed by the amazing Thor Myrdal as well. With that said, I want to thank everybody for joining in and listening to the Gameable Audio, and this was episode 21 on the composer Gordy Hobb, and I am your host Kristoffer Schenström, and with that said, have a nice week and see you all guys next time.